wrote down on the last time we sing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name in the three verses, and then we come back, and so I'll just turn around like always.
I'm going to start looking for a place. Good morning. Beat me to it, man. What can I say? Beat me to it. Listen, we're glad you're here this morning. Look over at somebody and give them a wave and a smile that says, hey, man, I'm glad that you are here this morning. If you're part of our online viewing audience, we welcome you along the way as well. It is such a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord, although it is still a little bit brisk outside. It is still February, last time I checked, right? Sometimes those temperatures fool us a little bit. We start getting ready for that warmer weather. So listen, hang on, because if you like the warmer weather, it'll eventually come back. If you don't like the cool weather, I'm sorry. Into everybody's life, a little rain must fall, and we've had plenty of that. But at any rate, we're glad that you're here with us this morning to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And if you're part of our online audience, be sure to greet each other out there as well. Yeah, usually we have Dr. Gazzito that's monitoring our online audience. He's got some travels that he has to do, work-related, and not with us today. But you all keep each other company as always. Oh, where is? Oh, there he is. He's over here. He's back. There he is. He's fooling me. Look, Baptists don't change seats, man. Everybody's got their own seats. You know how that is. John, you're supposed to be back there. That's where I was looking for you. I'm picking. But listen, we love him. Appreciate all that he does in monitoring and being with our online audience to answer any questions that they may have. What a blessing it is to be able to gather with God's people today. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you, we're once again grateful and thankful for this opportunity that you have provided us. Lord, I pray that we never take for granted the opportunities to come together and to freely worship. Lord, what a privilege it is. There are many places around the world that don't have the opportunities that we have today to be able to just come to you in the open without fear of governmental persecution and in such a fashion that we would wind up being incarcerated because we lift high the royal banner of our Lord and Savior. So today, Lord, may we be grateful for the opportunity to come together with like-minded believers. Lord, we pray that if there's one here in our midst or one who is watching or in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, Lord, we pray for conviction today, but Lord, we also pray that you would give them the courage to give their life to you, to just surrender to you, that they may have eternal life with you and become part of the family of believers. And Lord, we understand that we don't understand what eternity is really like. It's a number our mind cannot wrap around. So I pray, Father, today that you would just draw close to us. Help us to pause in the midst of the busyness of life to give heed to you. Lord, to hear what the Spirit has to say to us today as we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're getting close for time for our group. Our mission team is going to be leaving to go to Cuba once again. That happens on March the 10th. It'll be March 10th through the 17th that we will be gone. There are six team members that are going. as we go through the month of February, that's the time when we allow our church and offer our church the opportunity to support the ministries that will take place over in Cuba over the last, I believe it's 18 years. This will be our 18th trip minus the pandemic years. This will be our first trip back since the pandemic. I said before, we kind of slid in home at that last trip. We got back March the 7th, and I think the world shut down that next week, or we would have been stuck there. So at any rate, we appreciate the prayers in that regard, but this will be our first trip back. All of our guys that are going, all six of us have raised our money outside of the church to be able to go. That takes care of our airfare and our expenses while we're there. But what we do is we allow our church to support the ministries that take place. Just some of those that I've highlighted before is that the Awana missionary that is over there for the whole country. You guys pay his whole salary because Awana cannot get him his financial support. We actually carry that we fund it through the Eastern Baptist Convention over in Cuba. There are many churches that we support. Last time we were there, we actually were able to do a revival And that is something that you can't do. We actually were out in the community doing door-to-door, tempting fate, I guess you would say it. I don't know. But we didn't get arrested, and God was good. So we're looking forward to that opportunity of being back to serve in that church. Once again, we go under the auspice of the retirement center that was built by the Baptist State Convention and you folks. So we're going to be over there to do maintenance on that, have an opportunity once again to just see some of the senior saints that just move your heart. They are just so sweet, man. I love them to death. It's like family. I'm getting pretty excited just to have that opportunity to see them again. But we support music ministries and so many other things. Based on our budget, you know, after the expenses that we have paid to get there, we were looking at around $7,100 to continue to support the ministries that we have supported over there in the past. We're close. You guys have done a fantastic job in giving, but we're essentially taking this offering up until the last Sunday of February. If the Lord so moves you to give to that, you can do so by take one of the offering envelopes. Some are in the back of your pews, or some out in the narthex, and if you're country like me, the vestibule. And you can just write Cuba, Cuba or Cuba Mission on that. 100% of that goes to support the endeavors of this mission trip. None of it stays here. We take all of that with us to do the ministry that the Lord leads us to do while we're in Cuba. And I wish I could just express to each and every one of you the way that God has moved. We go over there essentially not to go for a week and then come back and say, hey, man, we did a great job. It's about being able to empower the nationals there to continue to do ministry. And that way, it stays going 365 days a year, 52 weeks out of the year. And it's just a blessing to see how God has moved in the midst there. It would blow your mind if we could even give you a small fraction or let you see a small fraction of what we get to see. So continue to pray for us. That is the first and the biggest thing. I will say that God is already answering some prayers. I mentioned before we have to take a set of tires that we have already gotten. I actually picked them up from in Durham yesterday because they're a special kind of tire. Then it was going to cost us $800 worth of baggage just to ship them over there. Well, the $800 has now been cut down to $400. And then if the Lord so moves one more time, it might go from 400 down to 200 because one of our team members is a platinum elite, whatever else you want to say there. So, of course, he was going to travel with us, but he gets an automatic upgrade. And I said, take the automatic upgrade. I said, you can fly up there with all the fancy crowd. But I said, see, the thing about it is you get to take an extra bag for free. So that would cut the 400 down to 200. We'd only have to check one bag. So you all pray for that. We did not get the humanitarian waiver on that. So God's already working on it. His tires, that's what I said. Lord, these are your tires. I found a bag that they'll fit in. I said, these are your tires, Lord. You got to get them there. So he's going to do that. But may each and every one of us be a part of that. And we can't wait to be able to go and then bring back word of what God has been doing. But once again, if you can support that, by the way, if you can give online as well. If you're part of our online audience, you can go to our website under the Giving tab. You can go down to Missions, and there is one that is labeled Cuba. And that way, each and every one of that. I'm hurrying, Donna. I'm hurrying. Got a lot of real estate. We got a lot of real estate we got to travel today. But at any rate, just prayerfully consider that. Main thing, put us on your prayer list. Pray for each of our guys for health and safety as we go, and then God to do some incredible things. And like I say, we can't wait to be able to return and give you the report on that. Trip is March 10th through the 17th, so it's right around the corner. Brad, come lead us in worship, brother.
Thank you. Good morning. You may see the theme of blessing the name of the Lord. So we have blessed be the name, and then bow the knee with a choir, and then bless his holy name. So I invite you out. First of all, I want to say thank you to Jim and the band for all their preparation and for playing this week each time they serve. So please join me as we stand and sing 206, Blessed Be the Name.
Oh, times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. But when the path grows deep and our questions have no answers, turn to trust the heart of your Father when the answers go beyond what you can see. Bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven and believe the one who holds eternity.
Seems to be no reason for.
Please join me as we sing 22, Bless His Holy Name. This morning, and I hope and pray that you do. We're going to be looking at the Old Testament passage of Amos chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with me. There's been a lot of conversation this week, and a few things that I want to address about something that is actually going on in the world today, as well as where we fit in that. Now, I want to go ahead and ask this question, so because I'm probably going to have to explain it in some degree or to some regard. How many of you all have heard what is going on at Asbury University in Kentucky? Put your hand up. Okay, there's a lot of folks who have heard this. Now, for those of you who haven't, essentially last Wednesday, the students had a chapel service, and after the chapel service, there were about 20 students that you know felt led to stay there and continue to pray. And then all of a sudden they began to be joined by other students. And essentially what has happened has been what has deemed a great revival that has broken out on the campus of Asbury, it's either college or university, in Kentucky. People have literally come from all over the United States to be a part or to see what is taking place, to see what is going on. Now, there are some that are going there essentially because they're curious about what's happening, what's taking place. There are actually live video feeds that are taking place. This is not something that was planned. It was something that was organic. And that chapel has been packed 24 hours a day since last Wednesday. Now that's a good thing, because we're also talking about a younger generation. And you know, when we sit there and consider that, most people sit back, and when you say the younger generation, people go, oh. How many of y'all, I'm not going to ask you to say that. And I understand, listen, I get it. But yet, we have to, people have been debating. There have been people on both sides of this. They're like, okay, is this a real revival? Is this genuine? Or is this some sort of flash in the pan that is going to pass away? Now, first of all, I want you to know that I'm not standing here in judgment
one way or the other, because one thing I know is that time will tell and God will move. So I'm not going to sit back and say that this is a bad thing that's going on by any stretch of the imagination. But I also think that it is critical for us to look at and to know some things about what revival is really all about. Now, some of you all are sitting there saying, wait a minute, the book of Amos. If you want to talk about revival, why don't you go to the book of Acts? Well, I could. Anybody can do that. But I don't want us to go to Acts. I want us to go over to Amos for just a few minutes, because I want to look and for us to consider about what revival really is in light of particularly one particular verse. Now, actually, I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. And when we get into verse 11, this is where the Amos is talking about Israel being restored. Now, most of us today, if you have your eyes open any single bit, you realize we're not heading in the right direction as a country or as a world. Would you agree with that? It seems like we're going in completely the polar opposite direction of what God would want us to do. We have become one of the most ungodly generations, creating an ungodly world other than any generation that I have ever known in my life or even beforehand from what I have seen historically. You know, we have found ourselves in a situation like Israel. Israel had that cycle. Remember how it would go? You know, the Lord would bless Israel. Things would be going good. Israel would get goofy. They would start, you know, sinning, or there would be idolatry or something. And then all of a sudden, God had to get their attention. And then it was, oh, we're sorry. And there was a time of repentance. And then there was a time of restoration. And then that circle just started over again. We're a lot like that, aren't we? Where would we fall on the spectrum today of that cycle, you know, as our country, as the United States? Well, I believe personally that we have gone so far as to, for me to be able to say, it is about time that the Board of Education be applied to the seat of our learning as a country. I think it's coming time for God to step in and say, enough is enough is enough. Are we ready for that? Listen, are we ready for that as God's people today? There are some things that I, as I've looked through here, that I realize today that it is not the most popular way of doing things. But let me tell you some things that I have learned in my years of ministry. I've learned that God doesn't need my help. I've learned that the gospel doesn't need my help. The gospel doesn't need fancy lights. The gospel doesn't need smoke. The gospel simply needs to be proclaimed by God's people with a pure heart. That is what is needed. That is what God has called us to. We don't have to sugarcoat things. We don't have to try to surprise people. You know, I loved it when it came around, because I can remember when it was a particular candy. And I just to think about it to this day gives me lockjaw. I think it was one of the kids gave me a pill. Oh, here, try this. And it looked really good. Oh, it's cherry. And I'm like, oh, okay. I popped that thing in my mouth, and my mouth looked like Sylvester on Looney Tunes. It was like, it was one of them Warheads or Sour Patch things. Anybody ever had one of those? If you hadn't, it's a real experience. Call 911 before you put it in your mouth. And for a few minutes, man, I was like, I can't take this. I was about ready to spit that out. And then all of a sudden, the old expression, the red got licked off the candy. Then it became real sweet. And that's what happened. Yeah, and why is it that we seem in our society today that we try to coat things? We try to fool people into, you know, luring them into our churches, or luring them into something by pretending that we're something other than what we really are. I've seen over times people take a denomination off of a sign because that's offensive to people. Folks, listen, let me tell you something. The gospel is offensive to the sinner. Call it how you want. So what does revival look like? Most people's definition of revival is relegated down to a series of meetings that we have at the church. We don't do revival like we used to do it, do we? Even when we do them. I mean, I've said this in this congregation before. I can remember when there were two-week revivals. Lord have mercy. You say two-week revival, now people say, well, the preacher's pushing it. Lord, we can't give God more than an hour on Sunday in this generation. A two-week revival? And you see, it went forward by the fact that we prayed that God would do some great and some incredible things. See, I'm still a firm believer that we don't have because we don't ask. And we don't seek with the right heart. Now, let me go to Amos chapter 9 for just a minute. This is when the talk is about Israel being restored. Verse 11, Amos chapter 9 says, on that day I will raise the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it in the days as in the days of old. Verse 12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Verse 13, and here's where we're going to camp out for a few minutes. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we pray that your spirit would truly be profound in this place today. Father, we know that you are here. We know that you have arrived to inhabit the worship of your children. Lord, today may we truly put aside any thoughts that we have that would deter us from hearing what the Spirit has to say. Lord, I pray that we would put aside the schedule of what's going on, and for these moments, Lord, that we would just be present in your presence, that you may change us forever. So, Lord, use this, your speaker, as these moments that you and you alone would truly be high and lifted up, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I began to think about the things that I was hearing, people that I've even had a chance to talk with that have journeyed to Asbury to see what things were like and to see what was going on and to be a part of it, and I've heard mixed things, as you might imagine. I've heard different people say different things. I heard one person say this. He said, I was so in the presence of the Lord that nothing else mattered. I felt like the Spirit was so heavy and so thick there that the only thing that I could concentrate on was being in the presence of the Father. When's the last time you were that way? When's the last time that things weren't business as usual? When is the last time that time got away from you in regard to your worship? Whether it's personal worship, whether it's here. You know, most of the time we're sitting there going, all right, he's got about 25 more minutes and I'm loose. He's lost me. Listen, when that happens, you are not surrounded in the presence of God. I can make you that promise. Whose fault is that? Let me tell you, folks, revival genuinely begins in each and every individual life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Individually. Revival means to rekindle something. Now, let me make something very, very clear today. The Holy Spirit's kind of old, but he's not limited. He's just as powerful as he's ever been, even more so. And he has not been stifled by this world. But folks, what happens is we must welcome the Holy Spirit. We must prepare our hearts and we must be ready to see true revival take place. We must pray for revival. When we look at this text today, and we look at particularly verse 13, you know, one of the things that we see in the first place is that we notice that when this happens, that there will be a surprising ingathering. Go back, look with me at verse 13. Behold, the days are coming. If the days are coming, that means they haven't arrived yet, right? The days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of the grapes, him who sows the seed. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute because I'm going to give you a little bit of translation, because I'm not translating. I'm just telling you what the Lord is saying. He's saying that there's going to be a time that is going to come. Now, notice, go back to verse 13. When the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Now, there are some farmers present with us. You know how that is. You know that there's a way that things get done. You go out there, you prepare the field, you plant, the crops grow, you take care of them as they grow, then you go in and you harvest, and then what happens is after the harvest, you begin once again to prepare the soil, to plant again so that you can have another cycle. Now, that takes... Yeah, you know, sometimes you can get a couple of crops in a year. Sometimes, you know, it's just one crop per year, depending on what it is. Now, when you go back to verse 13 and you apply this in a spiritual manner, it's saying that what's happened is when the plowman, the one who is preparing the soil, yeah, the one who goes out and sows seed. We all know the parable of the sower, don't we? It says that he went out and he sowed seed, and some fell on the fertile ground, and some fell on the rocky soil, and some the birds came and just took away. But we're to be out there sowing. Like this plowman, we're out there to prepare the field based on how God has led us. Now, here is what the promise of revival tells us in verse 13. It says that, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Now, we know what the reaper is. If you're going out to reap, we say you're going to go out and reap a harvest, right? What does that mean? You're gathering it. You're picking it up. Do you realize that when we think about what revival is like, it's saying that in reference to this, that God has moved on the fertile earth in such a fashion that the plants grew. I mean, listen, you've had good years. If you've planted anything, y'all have had good years and bad years, hadn't you? You plant that garden, and some years it will spit out produce that you can't give it away, right? I mean, you'll have tomatoes this big and cucumbers, and you're trying to find places to give them. And then you'll have other years where they don't do so good. You'll have them years where you're picking them off and throwing them over into weeds, and you're ashamed to try to give them away to anybody because the weather didn't cooperate. Whatever the case may have been, the garden just wasn't good that year. Y'all understand? If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Okay, good. You're with me. This is talking about a time on this earth when the soil is going to be so fertile that there is going to be an abundant crop, and it is going to happen in such a fashion of, and I'm going to use this term, I don't know if it's a real word or not, rapidity. Is that a word? Rapidly. It is going to happen so rapidly that by the time the harvest is ready and it is being harvested, that right behind will come the plowman yet again to plow so that the plants or crops could be replanted, and it's happening so fast. Now think about this for a moment. There's a couple other things that I'm going to throw in. Man, I have pages of stuff. Nobody wants to hear a preacher say he's got pages of stuff, but I hadn't even gotten to them yet. But here, what the Lord is telling us here is that there's going to come that time. And folks, the Holy Spirit is what's going to bring that time. It's not going to be what we do. I mean, don't get me wrong. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. But we're not going to be able to do something magical to lure the Holy Spirit here. It's going to be if he chooses to show up here. And he's going to choose to show up here when we repent and when we get right with him. People don't like to hear that word today. Because if I got to repent of something, that means I've done something wrong, right? Well, people don't like to hear that. We live in the most perfect generation ever. Have you noticed that? Everything that happens is somebody else's fault. I remember that as a police officer. What happened? He hit me. And then you go over here. What happened? She hit me. Well, no, one of you was hit and one of you did the hitting. That's what I'm trying to get down to. It's not my fault. It's his fault. It's not my fault in the marriage. It's her fault. No, it's the kid's fault. Well, what? We blame everybody else for our deal. Listen, just show up one day and say, look, it's just me. I'm a mess. Yeah, it's all me. That one's on me. You'll surprise people. They won't know what to say to you. Boss calls you in and says, hey, look, man, we got a little problem with these numbers. Yep, I messed that one up. Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. Now, we always try to blame somebody else for our stuff. Listen, repentance means you own your stuff and you give it to the Lord. And when he forgives, it is thrown as far as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. And then, and this is a different message for a different day, but I got to hit it right now. Let me tell you something. When God forgives you, you need to cut it loose. Do you hear me? You see, too many times we sit back and think that God can never use us again because of the heinous thing that you did, the sin that you committed. And I've sat back with people before and I'd say, listen, do you believe that God forgives? Oh, yeah, I believe God forgives. I said, did you repent and did you carry this to the Lord? Yes, I did. Do you believe that God has forgiven you? Yes, I believe God has forgiven me. And I said, then you are the most arrogant person that I know, because for you not to forgive yourself is to say that you have a higher standard than God. And you need to cut it loose. You need to stop allowing Satan to use that in your life as a key to trip you up. Do you hear me? Do you hear me well today? Because too many of us are allowing something from the past to keep us from having the greatest future that God ever intended for us on an individual basis and on a corporate basis. Oh, we've seen good. We've seen God do some incredible things in Central Baptist Church, haven't we? We have watched him do things that all we can do is go, it's a God thing. Well, let me tell you this. God wants to do it again. He is not ready to walk away. He is looking for his people to stand in the gap. And he says, he makes us a promise that this is what he will do. He says, I will make you a promise that when you make it right with me individually, and when all of us get it right individually, then we will get it right corporately. And when we get it right corporately, the Lord says, I will make the plants grow so fast that you cannot sow enough, that you can't keep up enough. That by the time those who are reaping the harvest are done reaping the harvest, the plowman is right on his heels saying, don't take a break now, let's go. We're burning daylight. And the plow's coming behind, the seed's going in, and all of a sudden, what does that cause? Let me tell you what it causes. It causes fatigue, doesn't it? Have you ever been, I grew up baling hay and priming some tobacco. Some of y'all are feeling my pain, aren't you? You've done that. And I still remember one day out baling hay, and it wasn't none of this big round stuff. You know, all the cows in my day got a square meal. You didn't pick it up with a forklift. You had the young pups on the ground. You had a truck that was pulling a flatbed trailer and one on each side throwing them up. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah, my people. And I think it must have been, it always seemed to be this way when I was baling hay. It was like 9,000 degrees. You know how it is? And humid. I mean, you just look out and sweat. And it'd be a couple up on the truck stacking them. And you said, oh, Lord, thank God the trailer's full because we get to go to the barn, which means we get to ride the trailer for a minute, and there's just enough breeze that it felt good. And then you got to the barn, and you paid for that little bit of breeze because then it felt like an oven when you were putting it in the barn. And then on the way back to the field, you were sitting there going, I hope them other guys are just flat out picking it up and putting it down. It didn't seem like there was that much left in the field. And then when you got to the field, you realized it was like everybody was gone. And you're like, oh, what a glorious day, until the guy drove to the next field where they were working. We literally put up 10,000 bales of hay one day. I didn't think it was ever going to end. Never. I thought, is this ever going to end? There was labor. Yet nothing that God is going to do in the midst of greatness is going to come with us being lazy. Now, I want to say something right now that may be controversial. I think that there's blood on the hands of many pastors in pulpits all across the world today because they're not preaching the gospel message. They will not remain free of the blood of men who go on because they want to tell somebody something that feels good, because they're more worried about what the budget of the church is and staying solvent. They're more worried about a paycheck than they are whether or not somebody spends eternity in hell. That's where we are today in America. Let's see what we need to do to tickle the ears. Some popular evangelists that draw crowds and crowds and crowds, who out of their mouths have said, well, we're not going to talk about the blood because that's negative. Folks, without the blood, there is no gospel. Without the death, the burial, and the resurrection, there is no salvation. And let me tell you this, the word of God convicts the heart of a sinner. You wonder why preachers often aren't popular? Well, what do you think of that preacher over there? I don't like him. Well, what don't you like about him? Well, and then it's 10,000 reasons other than the real one. See, the real reason was that preacher preached the gospel, they got convicted, and they took the conviction out on the preacher, instead of dealing with it one-on-one with God Almighty. See, last time I checked, you ain't going to stand before me at the judgment. You'll stand before God Almighty. But let me tell you this. My prayer is to stand with my hands free, clear, and flesh tone, not bloody, for having failed to preach the gospel. God says, I want to do a great and incredible thing right here. Asbury started last Wednesday with 20 students. There's more than 20 people in this place today. And it has grown to thousands and thousands, those that are waiting outside, those that are pressed up to hear the word of God. Now, is it all legit? Again, I'm not here to determine whether it's legitimate or not, but let me tell you what I do know. Even if it wasn't legitimate, God has taken the illegitimate and used it in the hearts and lives of people. Remember what he said when the disciples, and I'm paraphrasing here in the New Testament, the disciples said, Jesus, these guys over here aren't preaching the gospel for the right reason. And Jesus is like, I know. And they were kind of like, well, aren't you going to like throttle them or slap them down or something? Jesus is like, You know why? Because the gospel is being preached and it can still be used in the heart. God can even use Satan and his things to accomplish his will. So I'm not here to pass judgment on whether or not it's real. I'm here to say that there is something going on. And oh, by the way, it's now started to happen on other college campuses, and people would sit back and say, well, they're just copycatting things. You know what? Hey, if the word of God, true word of God, is going out, that is the beginning of a great revival. And instead of being the critical cynics that we have become after this pandemic, why don't we say, thank you, Jesus, that some 18 to 22-year-olds have decided to step up to the plate for you. See, I think that's great. Let me tell you where I think the problem comes in. I think the problem comes in with what happens when they leave the chapel. That's where the problem comes in. What comes in is even when they leave the college campus, when life sets in. Know what I'm saying? Yeah, I heard that guy say, I could have just stayed here forever. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Why didn't you? Well, I got a job, and I've got kids, and I've got this, and I've got that. And I said, yep. And I said, and then what? You know what generally happens? All of a sudden, the world starts influencing us once again. Remember a time, remember September the 11th when it happened and our nation came together for a short while and then it went back to business as usual. Actually, it got worse than business as usual. What happens when you walk away? In my 30-some years of ministry, there have been maybe two handfuls of younger people that have said, hey, the Lord got my attention. The Lord has called me to ministry. Folks, what I'm trying to say is this. We have to be careful that we don't just simply get on an emotional high, because it's easy to do that, isn't it? See, what happens afterwards is what makes the difference. I remember when I was 15 years old that God called me to ministry, and people, I think God calls men to ministry when they're young and they don't know any better other than to say, okay. I was 15 and I said, yes, Lord, full-time Christian service. Well, then I got older and I felt like God probably needed my help. Lord, I will preach, but I need to do something else. I might need to be bivocational. And the Lord knows how to get your attention. My freshman year of college, and I've shared this before, I went to a community college close to the house because I was going to major in computer science. That was the big thing back then. That was when the computer that's in your pocket right now was the size of this whole building. I had two computer science classes, failed them both. Only two classes I ever failed in college. Now, that's how God gets Roy's attention. So by the time my sophomore year came around, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'll go to Bible college. I'll be a religion major. But you see, that also that time from 15 to around 18, I didn't have a whole lot of help. I didn't have a minister in my family. My dad's a pastor now, but my dad was called to preach after he retired 40-some years with the railroad. Dad's 82 and started his ministry about 10 years ago. He preaches at a church. Mom's a piano player. They're in their 80s. And can still work rings around most people I know. I didn't have anybody to guide me along the way other than God Himself. I didn't have, unless somebody gave this guy an opportunity. There were two people in my life that actually encouraged me. Both of them are with the Lord right now. One of them was my pastor when I was little, D.D. Elwell. And he's the one who helped me along. I was like his other son as well, because his son Dale and I were always playing together. We spent the summers together and everything else, even when he wasn't around. He encouraged me. And then there was my best friend growing up, Dr. Billy Apostolin. His dad took time with me. And he's like, son, out in this country, he said, you're going to liable to be everything in the church. So you need to learn how to lead music. He had me sitting in the basement learning how to count with music. But those guys loved me and they believed in me and they encouraged me and they said, look, God ain't called you to do that. You surrendered to the call. So here I am. I'm not good at math, but I answered the call at 15, and I'm 57 today, so y'all figure it up. But let me tell you, why I'm saying this is because there have been so many people that I've known in my lifetime that had an emotional experience. God called me into full-time Christian service. In 30 years, you know how many of them are there? One. Now, am I saying that the calling wasn't true before? No, I'm not saying that. Maybe the calling is still there and they're running from God. They're going to be miserable, I can promise you that. Because God will get you where He wants you to be. Do I have regrets? No, I don't. God wouldn't let me mess up. Computer science? Nope. Be a police officer. I'm going to use that in your life to teach you about people, how people really function. And it's only going to be for a little while. And I've shared that as part of my personal testimony before. The day, I can remember it as vividly as I'm standing here, the day that God said, I'm done with you here, it's time to move on. It was almost eerie when God turned the radio off in the police car and said, this is not what I called you to do. And I said, I know, Lord, but nobody wants a 25-year-old single youth pastor. He said, I didn't ask you that. What I'm asking you is, are you going to honor the promise that you made to me when you were 15? I said, yeah. You make it happen and I'll do it. You better be careful what you ask God for, because you might just get it. Within a couple of days, buddy of mine I went to Bible college with said, hey, there's a church down the street looking for a youth pastor. We're going to be passing through. You want me to carry my resume? Uh-huh. Yep. Oh, and let me tell you, it's going to happen at the worst possible time. So I went, I sent them a resume. They called me down. I interviewed. When I walked out the door, the Lord told me, this is where you're going to be. And I'm like, whoa, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a minute. It's moving too fast. Well, then they had the vote, and they called me and said, when can you be here? And I said, well, I got to give a 30-day notice, and I'll probably have to go back and forth to, you know, to court for a while, because I have some outstanding cases that I'll have to testify to. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I had just bought a place, a home there, and made the first payment on it. Payment number one, and now I'm leaving. Who did I know in Greensboro? The one guy that carried the resume back. I was engaged. Jana wasn't through with college yet. She was going to be in Lynchburg. And maybe I was just too dumb to know it, but I'm like, let's go. It's a journey. Let's get it. Best decisions I ever made in my life. Best decisions I ever made in my life. Haven't regretted it, but let me tell you something. When true revival hits, it will stick for a lifetime. It doesn't just go away. Is what's happening at Asbury real? Maybe, but time will tell. The lives that are changed will tell. What happens going forward is what will tell. Notice verse 13, behold. This is what God wants to do. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. You know what that means for you and I? That when revival comes, you better be ready, because you're going to work. You're going to be tired. And I can tell you right now, David and I have talked about this before. I have been tired in the ministry, but I've never been tired of the ministry. Not one time. I still get as excited on Saturday nights now as I did 30 years ago. I still can't sleep well on Saturday night coming into Sunday. Because what a tremendous opportunity. Has that feeling gone away from you? Have you left your first love? I didn't say lose it. Have you left your first love, like we read about over in Revelation that the church at Ephesus had done? God says this. He says, when I send you revival, you better be ready. Because he said, I'm going to allow the growth to be in such a fashion that you can't keep up with it. You can't get the ground plowed fast enough to get the seed in it. And when you get the seed in it, it's going to grow to the point that it's going to be so fast that the harvest is coming in. You're not going to have a day off. You're not going to I'm going to work you. And you're going to be tired. And by the time you get the hay up in the barn, it's going to be time to go get another load. Are you ready for that? See, we've got heart dropsy in America today. And we got heart dropsy in the church. And what is that? That means you've dropped down and you ain't got the heart to get back up. We have become the laziest generation of people that I know. I better not say that. what I was getting ready to say. I meant what I said just then. If somebody else can do it for us, we'll let them do it. Let me tell you something. God's not going to provide an increase in a harvest for Central Baptist Church if we're not ready to get out there and reap the harvest. It's not going to happen. Remember the widow who had the oil? Remember that? Remember her? Remember what it was that God said to her? God said to her, what do you have? Or the prophet said to her, what do you have? And she said, all I have is this little cup of oil. That's it. And then what did the prophet tell her to do? Go out and gather vessels, not just a few. Get as many as you can. Remember what happened? She and the boys went out and did that. And it says that she took the boys into the room and she took her little jar of oil and she began to pour it in the other vessels. And I'm sure that somewhere along the way she was going, and it just kept on coming out. And then this pot gets full and she tells the boy, switch it out real quick. Something's going on here. And she kept on saying, give me another pot. Give me another pot. Until guess what? They said, we ain't got no more pots. Then the oil dried up. What do you think would have happened if she would have only gathered two vessels? Two vessels would be all that would be full. What if she would have gathered 50 vessels? 50 vessels would have been full. What if she would have gathered 5,000 vessels? Then 5,000 vessels would be full. See, I believe that there's something you and I have to do as well. We got to gather vessels. You picking up what I'm putting down? We've got to be willing to repent. We've got to be willing to love one another. See, the book of Acts says this. The book of Acts talks about how they all came together and neither one had need. They weren't sitting there griping at each other. They weren't complaining at each other. They weren't sitting there going, I don't like this and I don't like that. Because I will tell you, that will hinder the Spirit and shut down revival just like that. The Holy Spirit don't want to be somewhere where that is. And He knows us inside. He knows the heart that we showed up with today. He knows the heart we will go away from here with. The question is, are we ready to see that? Are we ready for God just to kick the doors open and say, here you are? Oh, yeah, here's what's funny. We've seen it before, haven't we? We've seen it before. And our prayer needs to be, God, listen, at least just one more time in my life, let me see you do something like this again. And let me be a part of it. People from all over the country are going to Asbury because they want to be a part of something God's doing. God wants to do something here and He wants you to be a part of it. But will we allow Him? Plain and simple. That was the introduction to my notes. Maybe you'll get the rest later. Because where are we? The significant things that God wants to do, He's going to use His people to do it, and it's going to be work. Well, I can give you this amount of time. I tell you, I detest one and done church. Oh, I'm getting personal now, aren't I? I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give you an hour on Sunday morning, but that's it. You ain't getting nothing else. And you better entertain me and don't ask me to do anything else. I detest that because that is not what church is supposed to be. Well, you're just old-fashioned. Yep, I am. I'm gray-headed. I'm finally coming to terms with the facts that I'm getting older. And I'm getting grouchier and whatever else. But this is the way it's supposed to be done. You preach the gospel, and the gospel doesn't need our help. And when the gospel is preached, it will be offensive to people. There are going to be people that aren't going to come in here because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit on their heart. I can live with that because I'll answer for that. And when I stand before the master and they say, well, I didn't want to go over there to Central because Roy always made me feel bad with the scripture, I'm going to go. If the shoe fits, wear it. If not, then repent and get it right. It's time for us to leave the sacrifice at the altar and go out and make it right and then come back. And then you will see God do some incredible things once again right here. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. What will it be for you? Brad, you guys take your place, and we're going to have our time of invitation because I think the Lord speaks to our hearts in light of the fact of where we are. I think we've been too much on autopilot. I think we've gotten to the point where we're, you know, we just come and go, you know. We come in, take our seat, we leave, we go back out, but we're not changed anymore. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time that you shed a tear for a lost soul? Y'all remember those days? Some of y'all whose hair is a little grayer, y'all remember the days of coming to the church and prayer meetings were really prayer meetings and you prayed and you wept over a lost soul? What changed? Let me tell you, God didn't change. The conviction hadn't changed. Or maybe the conviction's changed in your heart, the conviction towards you hadn't. God still cares about lost sinners. Do we? Because until we do, there won't be a burden. Until there's a burden, there won't be a desire, an unquenchable desire to plow the field, to plant the field, to harvest the field. The old song that said, it seems my children all want to stay around my table, but no one wants to work in my field. Some of y'all remember that song. We get mad over the stupidest things and let Satan win. God wants to have revival right here. Do you want to be a part of it? If you do, then it's time to begin to prepare your heart for what God can and will do. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Him. You've never given Him your life. You've been a religious person. Whatever the case may be. Whatever it may be. You've been religious, but you're not saved. Yeah, that can happen. And I'm begging you right where you are to open your heart to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. I believe what you did on Calvary. Save my soul. And He'll do it. Maybe you're here today and you just got kicked in the backside. Well, I've been kicked in the backside. Trust me. It hurts. But it's time for us to become the team God wants us to be. To see true revival. Because when it happens, you'll be like, what's going on here? And it'll be a God thing. Nothing that man can make. He wants to do that right here. And He wants you to be a part of it. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, okay, I'm willing and I'm ready. What will you do in my life? I give it to you. Not for 15 minutes, not for a couple of weeks. Whatever you call me to do. It'll be the rest of my life. I'm not looking back through the hard times. Okay, I've had some hard times in 30 years. I've had some mountaintop experiences and I've had some valleys below. I have quit about 1,000 times, but I've started back up the next day. Because this is what God called me to do. The payment's out of this world, not here. What do you need to make right with Him? Today is the day of repentance. As we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn, you do business with God in the way these days. Our invitation hymn is 285, Where He Leads, I'll Go. Really say that as a prayer. Amen, folks. Let me let you be seated for just a moment, and as we're gathering some information, we're going to introduce some folks to you here in just a minute, but as we do that, today is a special day. It's a time for us to be able to have an opportunity to gather around the Lord's table in communion. So I'm going to ask our serving deacons, if you guys would just make your way on up here this morning, and we will get communion served, and that's my fault. If you're a deacon, come on down and serve for us. If you're able-bodied and willing and whatnot, and then, of course, what we will do is we will get her lined up. David will help me out over here. We'll get you guys playing here in just a second. We're going to go ahead and kind of switch things around in a good way today. But David will help me in just a moment. Now, as we enter into the time of communion, the scriptures tell us this. The scriptures tell us, but let a man examine himself, that he not eat of the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. So for these moments, as David and I uncover the elements, I want you to take these moments to just go to the Lord in prayer, to make sure that everything is right between you and the Father as we enter in this very special time of communion together, okay? Let's all pray together. Father, as we come to you now, it is such a special time in our lives, Lord, to be able to pull up a chair to the table of the family, your family. Lord, we're your children. And Lord, the time when we remember what was accomplished at Calvary's cross. Father, we thank you so much for this time. I pray that our hearts are in the right place before you as we gather around your table, because you know, just like any good father, you know exactly where we are. And I pray that today, this time around your table, would be extra special. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Your Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for your word that was preached today. Lord, we thank you for these that have come. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can think of the great sacrifice you made on Calvary's cross for us, that we may have the opportunity to know you as Savior. Lord, we pray that not just on certain occasions, Lord, but we should be thinking about what you've done for us every day of our life. We just pray that you bless the bread as we think about your body that was broken for us. Mm. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Jesus was betrayed. It said that he gave thanks, he took the bread, he broke it, he passed it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given and broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Jeff, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you took your Father's suggestion and came down here and became a man to live with us, and later shed your blood that we might also live with you. We thank you for your loving grace. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this service. And as our pastor has reminded us of that revival that's going on, I pray, Lord, that it would take fire and go across this nation. We so sorely need it. Continue to bless us and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. The word says, "For as oft as ye eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes." I have just completely messed up everything in the service, and I mean, I think that's probably the way that it normally goes. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to utilize our deacons as ushers here for just a few minutes. David, if you want to go ahead, you can go on over and take your place in the band. Kelly, you can do the same thing. I was wondering why everybody was looking at me so strange and putting horns down. It's like, well, the preacher did it again. So all you non-musicians like me, we will be ushers today. And I almost made that cardinal faux pas. Don't ever let a preacher get out without taking an offering. So anyway, remember our Cuba team. Remember to be faithful in your giving. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and say the prayer. They're right here. The plates are behind. Yeah, that's right. I got rookies up here now. So Mark's probably coming down to help. We're just all fashionable today. Mark will be back there. Mark will tell y'all what to do. Y'all can pass them out. Let me go ahead and pray for it. And then you'll hear from the band, and then we'll get you on out of here. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Thank you that every good thing comes from you. Lord, help us as we take these moments to give back to you in what you have blessed us with in such a magnificent way. May we truly be found faithful in such a way, Lord, that you will honor us and be able to provide more, but help us to be faithful with what we have. And then, Lord, may the church be a good steward of what it is that you bring into the storehouse, that we might reach others with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of it is? That's it. You got it right. You got it exactly right. Before we get out of here today, I want to introduce a couple folks to you. Probably a lot of them need no introduction. Guys, come on up here. I'll get part of you to my left and part of you to my right. Look, she's prettier. Get over here. Can't do nothing with them. If you've been around, you've noticed over the past couple of months, Don and Barbara have been with us here. They've been worshiping with us, and they feel, as do Travis and Ashley, that the Lord is leading them here to Central Baptist to be a part of our fellowship.
to serve through Central Baptist and serve our master, and we look so forward to that. Matter of fact, I've seen new choir faces here. I'm sitting there going, that's called getting in there and getting busy. All of them have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They have followed in believers' baptism by immersion, and they are coming to us today to request membership by statement of faith. So do I hear a motion that they be received? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in their coming say a real amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, it is a pleasure to welcome you aboard. That's a handshake. We get the hugs in a little bit. How's that? We get the hugs on the way out in the door. We're so glad to have them with us. And what I may do is, Brad, I know you've been working with the Andersons. If you would, how about taking them back to the door so folks will get a chance to greet them on the way out, and then I'll get everything else shut down from here. If y'all want to just follow Brad on the way out, be sure to pass them hugs around and everything else. That's it. Hey, we won't embarrass you, we promise. But at any rate, I want to just give you a couple of things. I just want to say this. Today, God is good. And all the time, God is good. There's a different spirit that's not only here, but it's in different. It's going to cross this country. Let's be a part of it. I'm excited about that. Just a couple quick things. We don't have any birthdays or anniversaries to announce this week. My disciple group does meet at 3:30. The quartet is meeting at 4:30. Right. The quartet is meeting at 4:30 in the choir room of the new building, which is, if you don't know where that is, it's right across from the kitchen. Everybody knows where the kitchen is. We Baptists. So right across the hall from the kitchen door, that's the quartet at 4:30. Building and grounds, is that not no building and grounds today? If that was in your bulletin, it's not going to be meeting today. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock p.m. There are still a few available chairs for you to come be a part of that. Awana at 5:30 is regular time. And then Bible study tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Band rehearsal to follow at 7. Not today. Okay, Jim said, hey, I told you, we're just floating along with the Spirit today. No band practice tonight. And then, as always, men's breakfast fellowship, if you have an opportunity, Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the Olympic restaurant in Colfax. Guys get together, and we do what we do best. We eat, and we talk. Okay, I'm going to say it, and yeah, it's not just the ladies. We do a good job at talking. So there's probably 10,000 things I've forgotten. I'll just go ahead and close in prayer, but is there anything, David, that... You good. Okay. Thank you for the extra time today. It's just been a good day to be in the house of the Lord with all that he's got going on. Be sure to greet the Andersons as well as Ashley on your way out. Welcome aboard, guys. We love you. We're looking forward to serving with you. Let's all stand. I know you've been sitting for a while. You're probably ready to stand up. And I'm sorry that all the Methodists beat us to the good eating places today, but your food will be extra special and good and tasty and warm today. All right, let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. Lord, help us to anticipate revival. You want to do this. Lord, help us to seek you in prayer and to seek you in every way, shape, form, or fashion. That there would be a spiritual awakening in our hearts and our lives that would lead to a corporate spiritual awakening of our church as well as our country, because God, you're not finished with us yet. May we be steadfast unto the end. That's what we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight.
You got the. Oh, okay. Good deal. You got it all.